Hello and welcome to the Marketing Showcase podcast. We're at Old Trafford. It's been a busy old morning so far. This is our first live podcast of the day. I'm James, you already know that. We have a guest with us. Do you want to do the honours and introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure, yes. Thank you for having me. My name's John Deiter. I'm the head of digital marketing for the merchant bank Close Brothers. I work in their commercial division, so B2B finance. That's the industry I'm in.
So a lot of stuff in there that I know nothing about, that I don't understand, and I find quite mysterious. So let's explore that for the next 5-10 minutes. Just give us a bit of a kind of an overview then as to what your marketing operation looks like.
So I would say the main purpose of our team is lead generation.
Right.
So we have specialist sales teams,
yep,
who work in various industries across the UK. It's usually SMEs, companies maybe looking to buy a truck, a van, piece of machinery, a tractor, things like that. And we have teams that work in like the agriculture division, the manufacturing, construction, print. Our marketing team is very much aimed at generating leads and raising awareness in those key industries.
Right.
So we have effectively our hub is our main websites, but we have different websites. But let's say our main website would be our hub, where we would be looking to generate inquiries, lead generation, and really try and sell the specialism of what our teams can do. So if you're a customer and you're like, I need finance, you've got various options. You could just go to your bank and go, I just want a loan, and the bank will go, how much do you want to borrow? Check in the computer, yes or no. Whereas our side is more of a, we're going to put you in touch with our specialist team. They'll come and talk to you about your business, your plans. And whereas some businesses, especially starting out, might get told no, we're the sort of bank that will try and say, actually, if we look at your business plan and we know the industry, we've got specialists in the industry, we're more likely to say yes and help get that finance. So for a marketing team, it's all about focusing on that specialism,
yep,
our industry expertise,
yep,
and it's just generating leads for those teams to follow up and hopefully generate that business.
So is it fair for me to say that you're marketing and I guess you're selling something that's more on kind of like the serious end of the scale to maybe what some people are marketing and selling? What kind of challenges does that come with in terms of getting the messaging right and knowing exactly where to kind of pitch what you put out there?
Yeah, I'd say one of the main challenges we have is because we're a financial institution, we're a bank, there are certain guidelines that we have to adhere to,
right, like
the FCA. So we can't just say, we have got the best product ever, this is amazing. We have to make it very clear, this is finance. There will be interest payments.
Yep.
If you don't make your payments, you risk losing that asset. It will affect your credit. Like, we have to always say, we've got this product that's going to help your business to grow, but here's all the bad things that could happen. And we have to make those bad things clear right from the start.
Yep.
That does make it a bit difficult sometimes when you're trying to sort of sell the benefits, I'd say, of what we offer, because we have to put them right next to all of the potential negatives that could happen too. But that's kind of finance. That's what you have to do, to just make it clear from the get-go what it is you're offering and what could potentially go wrong for the customer.
When you're doing something that is so heavily kind of B2B, do you kind of have that image in your head of who it is that you're trying to talk to and who it is that you're trying to reach?
Yes, we do. So we're quite fortunate, because I mentioned we've got all these different these specialist teams. Each one of them kind of has their own customer. They're sort of they're who they expect to be selling to working with. So we have like persona, effectively creation of who our typical customers look like for those industries. So we've got a suite of sort of customer types, and we have them from startups.
Right.
We go all the way to traditional veterans. They've been in the industry 20, 30, 40 years. They know everything that we probably know, and probably more.
Yeah.
They know what they're talking about, versus maybe you've got emerging starters, smaller businesses that are starting to grow. And then you've also got the next generation. A lot of the businesses we work with are family run.
Yep.
When the parent retires, they pass it on to their children. So all of a sudden it's the same business, but completely new person in charge now, and maybe they want to do things differently. So we have all of these different ways that people fit into these, I suppose buckets is one way of putting it. And then within there, we break it down further by industry. So the way we talk to dentists, for example, for finance, is very different than how we talk to farmers looking to finance and get a new tractor. So we are one marketing team, but we manage across, I'd say, about 30 different industries or professions.
Yeah.
Therefore, our marketing has to adapt and change, because even though the products are kind of similar,
yeah,
the way we sort of frame it to those industries and those professions changes, you know, for one by one, basically.
And what about kind of measuring the effectiveness of what you do? Does that differ from industry to industry, or is that kind of standardised?
That's standardised. Okay. That's something we've been working on for about 5 years ago. We really wanted to find a way. I mean, that's kind of been my main thing ever since I got into marketing, was attribution.
Yep.
We're doing this work, we're doing this activity, what's it generating?
Yep.
So I'm a big believer in UTMs. Everything we put out there has a UTM on it. And it means that even if it's offline, if it was an event like this today, if you were to speak to someone of our team here, they would capture information, but the UTMs would be automatically added because we'd know it was an event, we'd know what event, yeah, and we'd know what industry, and we'd capture that information. So every lead we generate, we know the source, we know the medium, we know the campaign, and all of our reporting kind of breaks those down. So when we do a campaign, we can go, right, that campaign we did for summer 2024, how many leads did we generate from it? We can see them here. And then we can break those down by what channel. Was it social media? Was it search engine? Was it events? So that part we've kind of got nailed, I'd say. We're really quite good at the where did the lead come from?
Yeah.
And also when that lead goes into our system, that lead then converts into an opportunity, opportunity closed won. That UTM stays with it the whole way through. So we've got a dashboard where effectively I can go, how much business have we generated this year? And I can then split that number down into every activity we did over the previous 12 months.
The Law Book of Marketing Podcasts in 2025 says we can't have a conversation without talking about AI.
Of course,
right?
Of course,
that is that's the rule.
Yeah, I knew it was coming.
Where does it kind of fit in for you guys? Where does it fit in generally in kind of finance?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm trying to work that out myself. I think it's a tool at the end of the day.
Yep.
And I think if it can improve things, make things more efficient, great. I do think from my own experience, I've seen AI used to like create things. And I do think that hasn't really hit the quality that I would expect. Like we've got an in-house design team. They might use AI to tidy up things they're working on, but creating it from scratch, I still don't think AI is quite there yet to the level it needs to be for what we need. Saying that, if you can get the prompts right, if you can understand what you're asking AI to do, it can easily deliver things like a brochure, blogs, case studies, or at least give you that first draft that you then go to your team, to your specialist team, to adapt. So if you've got a team who are having to create 3 or 4 or 5 pieces of content a week and they're having to research it, do the drafts, etc., AI can probably do a lot of the legwork early on to get the research, get the first draft done, before then going into that process. So it can help that way,
yep,
but I don't think it can be just trusted to do it all on its own. Where we're seeing AI helping is probably more on the back-end process side of things, right. i.e. someone's applied for finance, there are certain checks we need to do.
Right.
Can those checks just be done automatically by AI? In theory, yes, they possibly can. So it's just making that process quicker. So a customer could inquire about finance and they get an answer much quicker than they can currently. For me personally, I'm interested in where AI can almost like analyze our data. So I mentioned earlier about how we report on the UTM side of things, the source of medium campaign. If I'm doing my strategy and I want to go, where should we be spending our effort, our budget next year?
Yeah.
In theory, AI can analyze my data and go, well, the 50 events you did last year, these 10 were the ones that generated the most. I don't have to look through all of that data, it's there for me. So it's understanding the prompt side of things, I think, of where you can say what you're asking. If you can make that clear, AI can make things much quicker, but I do think there has to be a new human element that has to be controlled. And especially for us as a bank, the customer, our CRM is just full of customer data, financial data. We can't just have AI go in and just sit, like, we have to have controls in place. So we're a very cautious business, so we're kind of gradually testing things out of what we can do.
Yep.
But I think it has a future. I think it definitely will be part and parcel of marketing for years, decades to come. But I do think it's how it's used and how it's controlled, because I see some things where AI has clearly been used, and you see it all the time on social media. People go, well, that post was clearly written by AI. People are getting wise to it already,
yeah,
to tell the difference between what's AI and what's real. And I think, as a result, real's going to become even more important to customers. They want to trust it, right? They want to know what they're reading, what they're seeing is believable. So I think it has its place, but for me, I think it's very much in the background rather than the foreground.
That's really interesting. And you've probably already answered this, to be honest, in what you've said there. But as you were kind of talking, my brain was just thinking, you know what, with AI, I guess when you're in a heavily regulated industry, that kind of trust element plays even more heavily. And the idea that there could ever be a point whereby you can entirely trust AI to do certain things that are, you know, public facing, it's quite difficult to imagine that ever really being the case. So, you know, speeding up some elements of some processes, yeah, absolutely. Back-end stuff that you talked about, absolutely. But you just can't take big risks, can you, really?
Absolutely not, no. If you think of it from a business point of view, if you're a customer and you go, I'm going to give you this information and I want you to use this information to tell me how much I can borrow to buy that new piece of kit, is that customer going to be happy that we just put it through AI and AI told us yes or no? Or are they going to prefer it to go through an expert specialist, someone they've spoken to, who's looked at it and gone a yes or no? I think from a customer's point of view, you'd go, I don't want just, I mean, it's such a cliche, isn't it, but computer says no, right? Yeah. You don't really want that. You want to understand what's the actual, what's the process here? What's the thought behind this?
And
AI, I think, can help. It can flag things that might be, this might be a concern, this might be a risk, or help that process through. But actual final decisions, I think they still need to be human. I think it's for our business anyway. That's a
fair point. And you know, stuff doesn't get much more important than people's money. Like, they do not want to think about any risk being taken when it comes to their money. So I feel like I've learnt quite a lot from this conversation.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us today. Enjoy the rest of your day here at Marketing Showcase. And thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Please check the feed for loads more content from Marketing Showcase events. You can find out more about Marketing Showcase at mktgshowcase.co.uk. There's details about the upcoming events on there, along with a ton of useful blogs, details about exhibitors, links to social channels, and more. I run my own business, by the way, Sound Media, helping brands to incorporate podcasting into their marketing output. If you'd like to get to know me a little bit better, LinkedIn is the place for that. Search for James Marriott and look for the headphones emoji. That's me. We'll be back soon with more insights from Marketing Showcase. See you then.